Fuego. Snooze. Go to me. Good morning. It is Friday, August 22nd, 6:49 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, almost 7 o'clock. I've just been kind of tinkering around here this morning. Could have started this show probably at 6 o'clock. Yeah, it's a little after 6, probably 6:30. Could have started. Yeah, I've been messing around for about 25 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. Just kind of thumbing through some video, enjoying my chai. I have a cup of chai here with Almond Joy Creamer in it. And I have another cup that's the last bastion of my peach tea that I made here. I make my own peach tea. I have I put fresh peaches in a homemade sweet tea thing. So it's just kind of, you know, it's good stuff. And with the that's enough about my cups this morning. My cups. Shabbat Shalom. It is Friday. Some good news for Donald Trump. The $500 million that Letitia James went after him for. When you look at the details of this case, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. However, I understand the law well enough to know when someone's getting bamboozled, when the ridiculousness of the law has to make sense. It's not just about going after a person. It's about whether or not the law is. What most people don't realize, when you sit on a jury, you're actually in charge of determining whether the law is even valid or not. You have the opportunity at that moment to change the law. If you determine that the law is unjust or that the law is unconstitutional, and most judges will not tell you this. Now, I'm not a lawyer. You know, just get your own advice on this. Seek legal advice on this. But the power of the jury is much more broad than what most judges will allow them to understand. And what I mean by that is, you have you have an obligation to examine the law itself and make sure it's even pertinent and make sure it's even valid. That's kind of what my understanding is. And most people don't know that because most judges will not. Most judges will instruct the jury on how they should conduct themselves and what they're doing, and that they won't explain exactly what all their legal obligations are or what they are able to do, what their power and authority is. Judges have many times usurped their authority over the jury or taken control of situations where they just make a judgment of their own, which is sad. I'm trying to figure out what my dog is doing here. He's trying to walk away or if he's trying to lay down. No, he must see the cat. Trying to work his way out the door here. This way. All right. What ended up happening in this case, of course, Letitia, she ran on the whole premise that she was going to go after Donald Trump. And in my opinion, that's not your job. And of course, because she won, she thinks that she had a mandate to go after the guy. And there's all kinds of video out there of her running and talking about how she's going to go after Donald Trump. And she gets this low voice thing going on. And it's all theater. She's completely in portrayal all the time when she talks. It's amazing to me that people get away with this kind of stuff. Now, there are some people who understand who Gavin Newsom is. I don't call him New Scum. I call him New Scam. One of the people that just can't stand her, the person on the left, can't stand him, is what's her name from the young Turks? I can't think of her name. She's kind of come around on a lot of different issues. I can't think of her name. I don't really care. But she's come out now. She's always spoken out against Newsom and his what a scam artist he is. Which is exactly what he is. He's a scam artist. Sorry, my puppy's doing some weird things here. So Letitia, basically, an appeals court now has. Now she's not going to win any more appeals. So you keep on going up further. It's just going to get worse for her. In my opinion, I think she should be, at the very least, sued. In my opinion, for some of the things she did. She now is under investigation, of course, for real estate fraud herself. Even though that's what basically she went after Trump for. And the whole thing has become a very, hot seat issue, contested issue. Very sad situation there. But we have, her whole life was wrapped up in this thing. Her whole identity was wrapped up in this thing. I want to get to that point a little bit further into this. And it's got some of my, more of my topical part of the show. She basically the appeals court ruled in Trump's favor and basically said they're throwing the case out completely. It's the $500 million he was supposed to pay the state for defrauding a bank. This is, please understand this. This money wasn't going to go to the bank. Bank made its money. The bank never filed a complaint. Nobody ever complained about anything Donald Trump did with the bank. I'm not going to go through the whole case. There's plenty of other people out there that will explain it. Dershowitz even has some good explanation of what's going on. She did more to damage the revenue of the state than anybody did in any business practices they were doing. There are people who pulled businesses out of New York and decided not to put businesses in New York because of the legislation that was going on there. They're like, well, heaven forbid she should ever turn on us and does this kind of thing. So that's what she ended up doing. She just destroyed the whole thing. And so the case has been thrown out. The $500 million now is gone. There's no more interest being charged on it again. She says she's going to appeal it. Don't worry, I'm going to. And she gets this. She'll start talking about. She starts quoting scripture. She starts doing all this stuff, talking about going to church. She starts talking like she's a preacher. She gets this all this fervent speech that she does, which is something that this phony spirituality stuff, the stuff where people act like they're just being overcome by the spirit of justice and there is a spirit there, all right. When you line that up with what Scripture says, what Jesus himself said, what God has spoken in the past, it starts to fall flat. It starts to become very obvious. But you have to have your heart and your eyes open to begin with. This is part of this whole thing where Jesus was saying, "Take the plank out of your eye to see the speck in your brother's eye." This kind of thing happens. And in other words, having some sense of self-awareness and introspection is very important when it comes to being able to see clearly before you start talking to somebody else about their problems. And many times, once you've gone through that, you can see the problems in other people, but you don't even dare speak up because you know that that's not going to, it doesn't give you, in fact, once you get to that point, you realize, you're not going to be able to, only God's Holy Spirit is going to be able to move on that person's heart and change them. You can't play Holy Spirit for someone else in their life. This is where the power of prayer comes in. You can just, you realize that you have only one way to help that person, that is to get on your knees. Still not sure what my dog is doing out here, but stand by. Oh, he's just He's just laying down. He's at the end of his rope laying down, and I thought he was trying to pull. But, well, anyway, hopefully he'll stay here. I have, anyway, without getting into too much of a sermon, I'll be doing that this evening. I'll be speaking at a little event this evening in Elkhart, Indiana, where I'll be talking about worship. What is worship? Going through this whole process. And I've been struggling kind of all week about what I'm going to say. I was going to get into some things about a particular topic and how to present it just in a particular way. But it's become very different than that. It's as I've been kind of just reflecting on what I believe God is wanting me to share. It has more to do with how He wants me to share it. So it will be a little different than what I had planned originally. I was going to do it. So it's going to be more of a smattering of a lot of different things. But it's we'll see how it goes. I don't know. And tomorrow we're planning on taking off on a camping trip. So next week might be a little bit difficult. Monday and Tuesday might be a little bit difficult to get a show in, only because we're going to be camping. Now, I don't know. I haven't found a campsite yet. And our camper, we have a camper. But it's showing some issues, and I'm gonna go ahead and put it up for sale. It's going to another maintenance place later next month, and then we're gonna put it up for sale. We'll see how that goes. It looks like I'm gonna be getting something different today. I found a deal. It's kind of a steal of a deal, really. It's really a good deal. So I'm. Just happened to run across it, and it's real close to the house. I don't know. It's just one of those things that I think I just need to go ahead and just jump on it while I can, because it's kind of a crazy deal. So that being said, next Monday, Tuesday, possibly might be a little difficult for a show. Now, Wednesday, Thursday, there will be a show. Friday morning, I don't know. If I do have a show, it will be from the boat. And then, of course, we get into Labor Day weekend. Monday may not have a show. Tuesday probably will have a show. We're going to be on the boat, and we're going to be sailing that weekend. We're going to be in Chicago doing some things as well that weekend. So I don't know how well that's going to go. It may be a little bit difficult to do the show over the next couple of weeks, even though I am on, because I'm officially on vacation. So it's kind of a, you know, but I don't take a vacation from the show. So any chance I get to do a show, I will. Now, having said that, please call in. Let me know what you think about what I think. The number is 812-379-8778. You can call or text the show, ask questions, make comments. Let me know how you feel about what I feel and what I think about what you think and what we think about each other. So we have a few other things to get into. One of the things I want to talk about, and I hope I can pull this back up again, because I was just looking at it. Now I can't find it. It's in one of my tabs here. Where'd it go? It's not. I don't think it's on that page. Is it this one? No. Right here. No. Yeah, here it is. This is, there's this group, where'd it go? Let's see if I can find more of it here. It doesn't say what the name of this is. They're the Black Hebrew something others. This is a fairly large group. They have some very strange theology, very weird, very strange. It is beyond Black Panther type teaching. It is beyond liberation theology. It is a very strange, it is a basically a because of your genetic, because of your who you are, because of your background, because of where you came from, because of your, you know, we call it race, I call it ethnicity, you are a chosen one of God. In other words, you are one, and all of everybody else, all the white people are going to bow down and kiss your feet in the heaven to come, in the eternity. In eternity, you're going to be, they're going to serve you. throughout all eternity. Of course, this whole thing is triggered by the whole thing of slavery. What's her name? That has a little show on, has Scott Jennings on quite a bit. She had some interesting things to say, and I've got to hand it to Steven Crowder on this one. He nailed it. He went after. Now I don't know why they put some things in the show that are just tend to go a little bit beyond the line. It's just not. I get it. I understand it's comedy. I understand where he's going from. But in my opinion, don't let your liberty become an opportunity to cause offense or to cause someone else to have an issue. All things are lawful, not all things are expedient. It's just one of those things where you can, okay, yeah, I get it. You can say this. That's fine. I get where you're coming from. You're trying to, show the irony and the whatever it is, it can be done a little more tastefully, I think, but it's and still be funny, but it's not, he's trying to make light of something, trying to make a joke about something, in my opinion, may not give him the best credibility at the time of what he's trying to say. I'm just saying. But he talks about this whole thing about slavery. Now, Donald Trump has recently made some comments about slavery. He said that, they're going after the museums, the Smithsonian. Now, you heard Joy Reid the other day. I was talking about it. She was going on this whole thing. I think I played a clip of her. She was talking about how Joy Reid was saying how, they've got the Smithsonian Institute now. They've got PragerU out there telling our kids, indoctrinating our kids about. Now, one of the things that Donald Trump said in his little statement was the only thing that's in the museum now is all about how bad slavery was and a couple of different things. And people are saying, oh, he's saying that the slavery wasn't bad. No, that's not what he said. He didn't say slavery was good, obviously. He also didn't say slavery wasn't bad. Slavery was bad. He didn't take anything away from that. All he said was, that's all that's in the museum. It's all about that, about how people hate this country, how bad this country is. There's nothing positive about this country. Nothing. The accomplishment this country has done is all about the original sin of our nation. The original sin, folks. Here's a little known fact for you. Korea. You don't think of slavery when you think of Korea. Korea had the longest unbroken chain of slavery in humanitarian history, in the history of all humanity. 1,500 years they had slavery there. Now, one could argue that Africa actually has had it longer. Now, you have to just go listen to the facts that Steven Crowder presents if you can stand listening to his show. I'm not saying that as if some people will find what he does offensive. That's all I'm going to say. I can listen to it and be fine. I'm not offended. Whatever. Here's the thing about the whole thing. It's just that, and I make this argument quite often. There's two things that are based on this. One is that slavery was unique to the American experience, that only white people have enslaved anybody, and it's the white people's sin they need to make reparations for. And somehow our ancestors are somehow responsible, we're somehow responsible for what our ancestors did. Now, if that's the case, then I don't have any ancestors who had any slaves. In fact, my ancestors, one could argue that they were slaves. Indentured servitude was not something, unwilling indentured servitude, I should say, being kidnapped and being forced into indentured servitude, I would say is probably about as close to slavery as you're going to get without being necessarily called a slave. And I've seen movies where, you see these white men chasing black men through the jungles of Africa and to capture them and put them on a ship and bring them back here to America. Well, first of all, no ships left Africa that went straight to America, to North America, what is considered the contiguous United States right now. They went to the islands. Then they went from there to the United States. Ships came here from the slave trade in the islands. Now, that didn't happen. Didn't happen. The slave trade has been going on in Africa and still is today for a very long time, many hundreds of years. Africans have enslaved Africans. When I talk about Africa, I'm not talking about a nation. I'm talking about the continent. There is still slavery going on today. Regular slavery, like not. I'm not just talking about human trafficking, prostitution. I'm talking about slavery. Then we have this whole thing of this whole nation was built on the backs of the slaves. That this nation wouldn't be this nation without slavery. In other words, all the labor that they provided was what built this nation. I've heard people say things like all the plumbing that was done and all the pipes and everything that was done in these big cities that built these big cities, it was all done by black people, African Americans, people of color, enslaved by the white man. In fact, they didn't even invent anything. They didn't even invent rock and roll and blues or jazz. They didn't even invent any of those things. Now go to Africa, and how much jazz do you see there? How many buildings do you see? How much ingenuity? How much industry? Are they industrious? What are they inclined to do there? Is it Wakanda? Are we talking about Wakanda? Which doesn't exist, by the way. Okay, for those of you who are just wondering, there's no such place. I'm talking about the reference to the movie. Black Panther. So this whole thing, this whole idea that the nation was somehow, because of slavery, this nation was built. That's the only thing that built this nation. This nation would... No, that's not the case at all. What they present is this whole idea that white people just sat back on their easy chair, put their feet up, and whipped the whip and made the black man do everything for them. That's the only way we got to where we're at. It's been that way for all of our lives, and the descendants are just coasting in on that whole thing. We're just riding the wave of privilege. There was a preacher recently that said something about this. He kind of went off. He was just doing a video capture thing. He was talking about privilege, and he was very upset. This whole idea of privilege, and spelled it out very clearly. What privilege really is, and who the privileged ones really are right now, and get away with certain things. Now, this guy, this group, this Hebrew Israel Hebrew whatever they are, whatever they call themselves, I don't know. They are Well, let's just listen to some of this, because it's the theology that they talk about and some of the things that they say. It's not pretty. It's ugly, in my opinion. But let's just see what they say. They're on street shouting.
He's going to try to enslave my people.
Let me replay that, because that's
the only thing that he's going to try to enslave my people.
When he sees a white baby.
The only thing that a white person could give me is their life.
The men and the women who profited off of our slavery, they're going to bow at our feet.
You'll kiss this boot right here.
One at a time.
Notice he says the men and women who profited off of our slavery. Now they're out there on the street, and they're making white people kiss their feet. The white people who profited off of our slavery. First of all, has he ever been a slave? And have any white people profited off of any slavery that's happened in their lifetime? See, we're not holding individuals accountable. We're holding their descendants accountable. And he literally says that later on. He says, well, that person got off scot-free. No, they didn't. They're facing the judgment of God, first of all. And secondly, you caught making someone else kiss your feet is not exactly These people are not, they believe that he quotes Jesus all the time. I assume, but he's not quoting the Jesus that I know. But he likes to use that. He likes to twist the words around, which is,
Mr. White Man. Everybody said that they love black people, but there's no action behind it.
It's making people kiss the bottom of his feet as he's sitting there. Ridiculous.
Sit. These are the Black Hebrew Israelites.
Black Hebrew Israelites, that's what they call themselves. Black Hebrew Israelites. I'll get into a few more of the things that they say. Let's see where we're at here. Let's see if this is something worse.
Mid-training session.
Yeah, this is.
Teaches that the true children of the Bible are Black and Spanish and Native Indians. Train and learn the scriptures.
Okay, real quick. You have any questions, Smith?
No, I'm just watching. I've seen them before. I just don't know what they do.
What we teach is that the true children of the Bible are Black and Spanish and Native Indians. And so we come out here to train these new members in our school.
Sounds good to me. I'm out here doing kind of the same thing.
There's one catch.
We believe that white people are probably the worst thing to ever happen to black people.
I can understand.
What are your plans for her and her kind?
It's not really our plans, it's God's plan. According to the Bible, God is going to avenge black people for what white people did, so they go enslaved. They got to be in chains, they got to build our kingdom, they got to serve out the judgment for touching God's people.
How you doing? What are your thoughts on the black?
So this is the whole idea here is that they are God's people, and that the white people are not, they're evil. He didn't come out, keep in mind, he's holding back here on what he actually probably believes. She's kind of sitting there. At first, she's kind of smiling. She's kind of going along with it. And then she realizes, oh, this guy's, he's not talking about equality here. He's talking about punishing me for the offenses of his family, of his ancestors. Her smile kind of turns into this kind of a, she's still holding her cheeks up, but she's not really smiling anymore. She's like, what are you talking about? Maybe I should not be here.
Hebrew Israelites.
I would need to know more about it.
Can you give her a quick synopsis of what you believe in?
Of course, Jesus Christ is black, right?
I don't know much about, to tell you the truth, the Bible. I do know that people are being persecuted and have been for a long time. It's the patriarchy in this country and in many other Western countries that are discriminating. And I'm happy when people are standing up for educating other people and helping us understand.
This is a very compassionate answer. At some point, though.
Yeah, this is a very compassionate answer. However, it's also very ideologically has a lot of issues behind it, but we'll get into that.
People will be in chains and enslaved, apparently. What are your thoughts on that?
If you lead the people into slavery and destroy their identity, shouldn't there be a punishment for those people who do it?
Yes.
Is he a brother? If he's...
Okay, now, keep in mind, there was slavery in Africa before the white man came there. So what is he saying? This is all based on a premise that only the white man has enslaved the black man. This gets into a whole big mess here, where he talks about not all African Americans he's talking about a specific part of Africa where the Black Israeli, Hebrew Israelis, whatever, Israeli Hebrews have come from. Nigerians and Somalis, they're not a part of this. They're not considered brothers. They're not a part of the Hebrew nation that he's talking about. So that's where they go back into a genetic study and try to find out where everybody's from. And if you are, then you're a part of our group. You're a part of our group. And it's this whole thing. And there's this kind of a collective kind of a cliquism that happens in certain groups where you want to be part of the inside. You want to be part of the group that this is God's on our side. We're doing God's work. And, people are going to kiss our boots. We're going to enslave these people we're going to get back at these people for all my problems are from that guy over there. Who doesn't even know me, who has nothing to do with me, but that's his, It's a systemic problem that's happened. It's the system of the white man that's caused all the problems. Yeah.
Guess to país de origen.
España.
Spanish count or no?
Conquistadors. We're indigenous. That's European, right?
Oh, man. Okay.
So Spanish, when we're from, just, you know, yeah. The Spanish conquistadors, conquerors of, by the way, the Spaniards colonized Mexico, South America, mostly. And the Portuguese. That's why they speak Spanish. They don't speak English.
The ones who conquer the natives.
That's what I'm saying. Hell yeah.
I'm not so sure that I myself should take responsibility other than helping the legacy of what white people did to dark people.
She said, I'm going to help the legacy of what white people did.
Yeah, he twists it around, of course. She's trying to say, now she's an extreme leftist. This is pretty much the average city dweller. About 80% of them are this way. They have this whole mentality of, unfortunately, this is happening. It's actually coming, a lot of this is this idealism and this theology is coming from, unfortunately, coming from seminaries. I happen to have a background in Anabaptist theology. The Church of the Brethren, Mennonite Church, all different divisions of it, all of the different conservative levels of it on both sides of those. The Church of the Brethren and Mennonite Church are basically one and the same. They've been kind of sister churches, sister organizations for a long time. Each with their own different little emphasis on things. But you could go into any seminary and this lady would fit right in with the whole agenda of everything that they do. Whether she knows anything about God or not, this is where they go. You know, we have to rehash the sins of the past and we have to make right in restitution and reparations. At one point, this guy says, you should empty your bank account and give it to me. And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
You know what that means? That's Trump.
No. Help erase that legacy.
So now she says erase the legacy. Now he's gonna jump on that and say, yeah, like as if it never happened. And she's not just she doesn't mean that either. Now she's the one getting caught up now, and every little thing she says, he's gonna twist around like she does with Trump.
He's trying to set you up over here.
It's gonna be a hard time here.
I know that we haven't done right by Native Americans, by people of color. From
when she says we, she means the nation in the beginnings. But it wasn't the entire nation, folks. We fought a war to end slavery. Many people died in a very bloody battle that almost destroyed our nation, almost. To end slavery is one of the main reasons. One of the main reasons. It's not the main reason, but it's one of the main. It's there. It's maybe the top reason, but there were economic reasons as well. For the whole civil war that was going on, economic and political. Slavery was the political football that was a consequence of everything. But I would say that it was actually an issue, yes.
Many places we call this country.
You said we. What did you do?
We, the people who represent the dominant narrative in this country.
The dominant narrative.
In the Bible, this will be reasonable to me. It says that the fathers and the women who had slaves, that they would bow to the slaves. In these last days, in these end times, when Christ comes back and rules this earth, a black man by the name of Jesus Christ, the men who led our people into captivity and the women who profited off of our slavery and our blood, they're going to bow at our feet. That would be reasonable to me.
You asking her to bow right now?
I mean, that would be reasonable. Like, if you were really sorry for what your people did.
If you feel truly bad for what your ancestors did, will you give them $20 right now?
I don't know if that would solve a problem, and my ancestors were dirt poor also.
I would say empty.
I don't know if that would solve the problem. She says something right now. This is very, very important statement being made right here. She at least has the foresight to understand this, and this surprises me. Because a lot of people would just say, oh, yeah, here's $20. Go away. Here's the problem with this.
If you feel truly bad for what your ancestors did, will you give them $20 right now?
I don't know if that would solve a problem, and my ancestors were poor also.
I would say empty your bank account. When you think about it, we became the financial backing of building America. Yeah. We became the labor. So when you say money doesn't...
They think that they were... He makes it sound like they were the only people who labored to make this country what it is. There was child labor going on in the North American part, in Northern America, in the Northern U.S. states. We don't talk about that. Children were working in factories. It was coal mines. When you stop and look at this, there were plenty of atrocities happening in North America as well as South America, Northern America, Northern United States, as well as the Southern states. Just different. There's labor on both. Look, this idea that America became America, that the United States became what it is as a nation because of the labor of black people. And Stephen Crowder makes a good point on this, and I've made this point before. If your people, if your culture was so industrious, was so amazing, and why didn't it happen in Africa? Africa would not have invented the wheel. Africa would not have done many things. You know, they like to take credit. Well, we invented the automobile. We invented the light bulb. We invented, really. And all those things weren't invented in Africa. They were invented somewhere else. So how does that work? And still in Africa today, in these days, there's, it's not exactly the bastion of economic, the powerhouse. Why didn't it become a powerhouse of its own? It's such a, they have a lot of resources in their land. That's one of the biggest, one of the only reasons anybody's ever even interested in it, in the nation. China's down there like crazy doing its thing.
Change it. That's why I said empty your bank account. You should too. Everybody, every white person should empty their bank account.
Would you be willing to maybe give a $100 donation to the cause?
Yeah. That.
Like right now on camera?
Well, I don't have anything.
Just kidding.
Do you believe in justice?
So he wants him. Every white person should empty their bank account. Here's the problem I have with this mentality, this ideology. Go ahead. You know, I'll tell you what. If there could be peace between black and white people, if it would mean that there would be no more racism from black people towards white people or white people towards black people or anybody else, any other race, if it would end racism for me to empty my bank account, that it would all go away, there would be no more talk about it, there would be nothing else, it's over, I would do it. I would do it with a smile on my face. I would start over from scratch today if that would happen. Here's the problem. You can empty your bank account. You can give them everything you have and everything you've ever had and everything you ever will have. It will never change their heart. There will not be forgiveness, reconciliation, restitution, or an end to reparations. There will never be. You can't make up for this. And that, now, that's just my opinion. But that's just not the nature of human beings, first of all. They just, there will be no end to it. I don't know where he comes up with this idea that somehow the children of those who've done something are going to pay the price for what their ancestors did, even though they're sitting there telling you they're sorry and they want restitution, they want reparations, they want this lady's willing to give them $100. Yeah. Well, it's not gonna change anything. They don't want reconciliation. They don't want restitution. They don't want forgiveness. They don't want to see grace and mercy prevail here in this situation. It's not going to be a part of the equation. You're not going to be happy until you're in chains and serving them. This is a very distorted. These are the kind of people who are going to stand before God and he's going to say, I never knew you. What are you doing here? You did all this in my name. There's more judgment upon your head than you realize. I would tell this man to his face, you are living a lie. God's judgment will be upon your head for the things you're saying and preaching and the way you're leading these other people down a path to destruction. Now, he says some other things about Jesus a little bit later. I don't know if he's going to...
I do believe in justice.
Es una posibilidad que quizar la zapido
de este asking him to kiss his hombre. Boots.
I'm in my 70s now. When I die, that money's going to be gone. And it's not going to go to people who are just going to go out and buy lattes and spend it on going...
So, this lady's in her 70s. She's out there walking, doing her thing. She's getting around pretty good.
And whatever. It's going to go to cancer causes and causes like yours. Black people. Doctors Without Borders is a big thing I support.
The first thing that came to my mind was that when she dies, she's going to help black people, not when she's alive.
No, I'm doing it now. But
I'm giving a huge amount of what I've got every year.
Why should you feel obligated to help black people? Did you enslave anyone?
No, absolutely not. But our society is continuing the discrimination that's based on what happened.
No, it's not. This is the lie that we continue to believe. Our society is continuing to do this, this whole thing that slavery was based on and racism was based on. This whole idea that somehow it was white supremacy, and Steven Crowder gets into this, he describes this very well. If slavery is all about white supremacy, then it's only a thing that white people will do to black people. It's not something that black... So how do you explain black people doing Asians and Asians, enslaving Asians, black people enslaving black people, Africans enslaving Africans, if it's a white supremacy ideology that causes slavery or that systemically puts them down? That's just not true. There's this whole premise that has been built on a precept that doesn't exist. There have been systems in the past, and there probably still are systems today. The good old boy club still has always existed. And folks, it exists no matter what your color of your skin is. I've experienced it in my life with other white people. You're not on the inside. You're not a part of the group. You're not a part of the good old boys there. You're just not there, and you're not going to be there because that's the way it is. They're on the inside, and you're not. You can't just walk into it. And that's how this happens. But this whole thing, I would encourage you to watch the David Crowder thing on Steven Crowder. I'm sorry, David Crowder's a singer. I think he broke his leg recently. Steven Crowder, even though the show is a little bit, I don't like to promote his show, but at the same time, he gets to us, listen to the subject matter and how he, rather than how he presents it, listen to the actual subject matter and what he goes over. 99% of it I agree with, and I think it's time that it needs to be said. Unfortunately, the kind of things he's saying really need to be said by the black community and black churches and black pastors. I place the blame upon them, or I should say the responsibility upon them, to preach the truth about forgiveness, true reconciliation, and what it really means. It has nothing to do with reparations. Jesus never said, go find the person who sinned against you and make them pay for it. He never said anything like that. Go after your enemies and wring their necks, make them drain their bank accounts. Your enemies are going to serve you someday. Now, there is some scriptural premise to some of this. The But at the same time, he's twisting this all around. And here's the bottom line. They're making it about them. They're not making it about God. Your service to God means you're going to serve me. No, that's not the way God intended any of this. Your whole life in eternity is going to be serving someone that you didn't do wrong to, that it's your ancestors did wrong, that somehow now your whole eternal life is going to be based on being in chains and being serving someone else and kissing their feet. That's not who we serve. So this whole thing gets all wrapped up in all this ability for us to somehow right our past sins. And folks, you will spend your entire, if you've lived 10 years, you can spend another 90 years of your life making up for all the things you've done wrong in 10 years. And you'll never do it because you can keep adding to things that you've done wrong. You probably won't do those things. You're even adding, trying to take those things, you'll screw those up too. So it just, there's no end to it, okay? There's no end to it. And once you realize, you think you can go through a whole day without, you know, any kind of sin being committed. But if you look at the way Jesus spoke of what sin really is, folks, I can tell you right now, if you're a human being, if you're any kind of selfish individual, there might be sins that you haven't committed physically or actually done. But I guarantee you, if you are awake for an hour of the day, you will have selfish thoughts. You will have selfish motives. You will have things. And Jesus made it very clear. If you've even thought the thought of a sin, that's just like doing it in terms of how God sees that. It doesn't have the same ramifications. It doesn't have the same consequences physically on the earth. But it's just as vile as having committed it. And I think that's in God's eyes, anyway. So don't think that you're getting through the day without committing a sin. No, I'm sorry. No. You're a human being. You're selfish. I guarantee you've had selfish thoughts. You've had wrong thoughts. You just may be unaware of how wrong you are. Even in your attempts to be righteous, your righteousness becomes filthy rags. The only thing that makes you righteous is being covered in his blood, accepting and receiving what he's done for you, his righteousness. He is my righteousness. It sounds complicated. It's actually very simple, but it's actually kind of complicated. It's actually very difficult. It's hard for us to get our brain around it because it's too simple. Anyway, I'm getting off into theological land that I probably should spend 5 hours with a panel of people discussing and going through it so we can wrap our heads around it. But it's just, you know, you could have 100 brains in the room and they still don't, you know, even scratch what God is, you know, is capable of. Anyway, and AI isn't the answer either, folks. Go ahead and talk to AI and see how that works out for you. I digress, folks. I'm going to go ahead and just release you into the world. I want you to have a good weekend. I want you to be blessed. Just keep in mind that the good news is still the good news. And this kind of theology, this kind of drivel, this kind of rhetoric and theology, unfortunately, it's saddening to me to hear people say this kind of thing. Because he's so close to the truth, and yet he's very lost. And the discussion with people about it, again, is one of those things that it's... Even well-meaning, well-intentioned people that I think are trying to have a heart of compassion, trying to figure it out, are still lost. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your weekend. Shabbat Shalom. Grace and peace to you.
See ya.